Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Joining us this morning is Dr. Danny Avila, who you know has been on the show for a number of times over the last year, trying to shoot straight with us about what's happening in the city of Richmond and in Henrico with the COVID infections and with the rollout of the vaccine. And now he's got the unenviable position of being responsible for the rollout here in Virginia. The governor has called on him to try to put together a plan, working with officials across the state to get the vaccine out. And he's nice enough to join us this morning to walk through this. And I am not beating up on you, Dr. Avila. You've been straight up guy every time you've come on, and I respect you. And honestly, the people I know who know you personally have said, hey, this is one of the good guys here, not political at all. But I got to ask you, it was kind of shocking to me when I saw that Virginia was ranked 50th in the United States for vaccine distribution. Is that true? How did they come up with that? And what do you make of that?
Yeah, thanks, John. I think it was shocking to all of us because we that is just not how Virginia does things ever. And so,
right.
You know, the statistic that put us at the bottom of the rankings earlier this week was the number of doses administered, so the number of shots in arms, over the number of doses distributed, the total number of vaccines that we've drawn down from the federal government. And so to some degree, it's a measure of efficiency, right? Can you get out what you're pulling in at a rapid pace? A couple things. One, that the situation is much better now. Earlier in the week, we were 50. We're now in the 20s by that particular metric. And then by other metrics, in terms of the number of total vaccines we've given and the total per capita, we're up in the teens. And so I think things are clearly moving the right direction. Let me explain why we started out where we were. One, we had a very distributed model of vaccination. So when you look at states that were much higher in that ranking, they were tightly controlling the vaccine that was coming in. They were doing it through mass vaccination or through very limited channels. At some point earlier this week, we had 840 different distribution channels, providers and pharmacies all over the Commonwealth, all receiving small amounts of vaccine and getting it out. Now, in some ways, that's great because it increases access. But from a data quality and control standpoint, it is really challenging to make sure that everybody is administering at a rapid pace and then getting their data updated in a rapid pace. So what we did last week was we onboarded about 10 new folks to go and just solve the data issues, to go churn anybody who had a data backlog or anybody whose system wasn't talking to the state database. That has contributed to a lot of the closure that we've seen over the last few days. And so if you look at the data, you'll see that instead of about 20 to 22,000 vaccines given every day, which is where we had been, that number has jumped up to between 30 and 40,000 vaccines. And that's not necessarily because we're putting out a lot more vaccine. It's because we're fixing the data connections and getting caught up on some of that backlog. So that's a big part of this. But then, you know, the other part of this is that we have a lot of second doses that have come into the state. So remember, the vaccine is a two-dose vaccine. It's got to be separated by 3 to 4 weeks from the time you get your first shot to the second shot. So a lot of our second doses, approximately 250,000 of the doses that we have in Virginia, are actually being held for somebody's second dose, which means they can't be given for 1, 2, 3 weeks out. And that has really challenged our administrated to distributed statistic, which is keeping us from moving up the rankings. But we're aggressively pursuing other inventory management to really get vaccine out and to close that gap, and to make sure that Virginia knows that we're not at the bottom of any list.
Okay. Well, that is a great explanation. That's what I was hoping was the story behind the story, was a numbers crunch issue rather than a practical problem. It's still not where you want it to be, I'm sure. Do you think you're going to see more vaccine coming into the state and your capacity to process that quickly and get it into arms moving faster over the next, let's just say, 14 days?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we heard from the White House a day ago that we're going to get a 16% increase in our total allocation every week. I will still say that's not enough. I mean, the last 3 weeks, we've been getting 105,000 doses a week for the entire state. And we have way more demand for that and way more capacity for that. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we had over 300,000 requests by providers, by hospitals and health departments. And so what I've seen over the 3 weeks that I've been in this role is just an incredible expansion of who can vaccinate and who can vaccinate at scale. And so there are places all over the Commonwealth that can do 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 doses per day in one event. But there just isn't enough vaccine to feed that. So I'm hopeful that that number will ratchet up a little bit. I mean, but when you start to parse that out by population, by geography, we're looking at just a couple, 3,000 doses per health district or per locality. And so it goes quick, and we need the supply chain to open up to meet the demand that exists in our community.
Are you confident that the vaccine is going to the people who are most vulnerable to going into the hospital and dying should they get COVID? Are there some people cutting the line here?
I think there is some of that. And, you know, I think the classification of 1B is very broad, right? So when we expanded to 1B, we did that knowing that we needed to get more vaccine out and we needed to prioritize those who are vulnerable. And so I think the governor's comments this week about clarifying, hey, in 1B, about 50% of what we should be doing should be going to the 65 and up population. We know that that population is at highest risk to be hospitalized and potentially to die if they were to contract COVID. And so hopefully that is a clearer message to the public, but also to those who are receiving vaccine, to ensure that they really are reserving at least half of that for the 65 and up population. I think where it's gotten a little bit messy is that, you know, with the folks with underlying conditions, that's a pretty broad range of people. And yeah. when you take the 1A and 1B categories, that's 50% of Virginia. And we just do not have the supply to meet that demand. And so what I have really been trying to impress upon folks as I've talked in a number of different venues is that we really need to let those who need this most go first. We need them to get to the front of the line. And there are legitimate reasons that, like if you're, you know, a 45-year-old cancer patient, as an example, that would be a good reason for you to be at the front of the line. But I think for many of us who maybe are slightly overweight or maybe you're a smoker or maybe you have a less severe underlying condition, we really need you to be patient as we get the folks who really are at highest risk taken care of first.
Yeah, that is important. Forgive me if I missed something here, and you mentioned it earlier about the second dose and the pulling part of the inventory aside to make sure that everyone who needs that second dose gets it in a timely fashion. Are we still on that plan? At one point, I thought I heard a discussion in Washington about how maybe we should just burn through everything, get everyone with that first dose just to get something in the arm. Has that been recalibrated?
Yeah, so that was some of the messaging we were hearing from the federal government about 2 weeks ago. And that, in fact, is a large reason why Virginia went ahead and expanded 1B the way they did. We added folks who are 65 and over. We added people with underlying conditions. And it was on the heels of the federal government saying, okay, we're going to release all of the second doses so that you have as many doses as possible to get into people. Virginia made the decision. We expanded 1B. And then about 24 hours later, we were hearing the headlines. There aren't actually stores. We're not changing the allocation strategy from the federal level. So that has led to a lot of frustration among the public, right? Because now we have millions of people who are in 1B saying, okay, it's my turn. How do I get vaccinated? And and the reality is that with the amount that's coming in each week, it's going to take us weeks and potentially months to work through that 1B population. Yeah. So
if you don't get that second dose?
Well, we are absolutely prioritizing second doses. So we're not changing to a strategy where we're shifting second doses to first at the expense of second doses. We're just managing our inventory differently to make sure that you can get a second dose. So to the question, one dose, the data shows that in the Moderna product, maybe about 60% protection from one dose. And then I've seen data ranging from 53 to 70% with the Pfizer. And that's good compared to other things, but if we can get to 95% with the two-dose series, we absolutely want to do it. It's our best chance to stop COVID from continuing to circulate.
Yeah, all right. I'm working on my parents, as I think I've mentioned to you before. My mother refused the first dose. My dad took it. We've got an appointment on February 4th for him to get it. He's in his late 70s with big medical problems, my mom too. So I asked that almost selfishly to find out what argument I should use at home when I'm talking to them, and I figure that a lot of people are in that boat. Hey, going forward, I'm anticipating that there's going to be a kind of a recalibration in the way we do things culturally, and it worries me about, you know, can you show your health passport? Can you show your vaccination card? Oh, you don't have one? Well, you can't come in. You can't participate. You can't be involved in day-to-day life anymore. And I don't know whether that starts in February or whether that would start this summer when more people have vaccinations. Do you have an opinion about how that idea might manifest itself culturally and whether the government would be involved in mandating something like that?
Yeah, I don't think there will be any mandates around that. I mean, partially just legally, because the vaccine is under an emergency use authorization from the FDA, there's no way the government can mandate vaccination. Now, private organizations may choose to do that. They may say, hey, if you're not vaccinated, we don't want you here, or you have to wear a mask and do all the things. I think that in this acute scenario where we are seeing some of the highest circulating COVID rates that we've seen at any point during the pandemic, there will be a lot more caution, and rightly so. But my guess, John, is that as we get our population vaccinated, as we move towards the summer and we see these numbers drop, I think both we're going to see the transmission of COVID stop happening at such a significant rate, and we're going to have such, you know, we're going to get closer to herd immunity and aren't going to need to worry as much about, you know, having people show proof of vaccination. So I don't anticipate that will be an issue a few months down the road.
Do you think that normal travel and public events might resume in the spring, April, May, or is it too soon to start looking at the calendar and figuring that out?
Yeah, my guess is that it's going to take us longer to get enough of the population vaccinated. I mean, the good news is that we already have vaccinated more people than have actually gotten COVID in Virginia, right? We're at over 600,000 now, and we've had about 500,000 Virginians who've contracted it. So it's moving quick, but I do think it will likely be the summer and beyond before we really start to see that opening up happen.
Really interesting. All right. You're the expert, and I think I'm asking good questions. Is there anything I've missed that you want to share with us?
Just a reiteration that given where we are with vaccine supply, it is going to take a long time. And so I just would ask that everybody think about, is there somebody who needs this more than me? Mm-hmm. And if so, let's get them to the front of the line. That's a hard thing when you're concerned about your own health. But we know that we can protect ourselves. We can wear our masks and socially distance. But there are people who will be hospitalized and potentially die if we don't get them vaccinated. So,
Well, that's sobering, isn't it? Dr. Danny Avula, who is in charge of the health district in the city of Richmond and Henrico County, and now is coordinating the distribution of the vaccine for the state of Virginia across the Commonwealth, which is a tough job. I don't envy you in that situation, but I appreciate you stepping up to do it. Dr. Avula, thanks for coming on again.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.